Good to see everybody who's here. As I had mentioned, to our visitors and friends who are amongst us this morning, we are thankful for your presence. And we certainly want to let you know that you are our honored guest. And if you have not done so, we have visitors cards that are in front of you in the pews. If you would just take that opportunity at some time and fill one out, hand it back at the appropriate time, we will be able to acknowledge that you have been with us, and next time we see you, we can greet you by name. So we are here this morning because the Lord has blessed us with this day that we can come together and worship him and to do his will. So if you have your Bibles, and I trust that you do, join me over in the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans, the chapter is 6. We will be beginning our reading at verse number 8, and we will conclude in this section of the lesson at verse number 11. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse number 8, and reading down to verse number 11. And the Bible reads, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." From this text this morning, I want to speak on the subject, the benefits of being with Christ. The benefits of being with Christ. Now, as we begin to put this lesson together, there's a key word that I want you to keep in mind as we go through these verses that we have. And that key word is with. And to be with Christ, I got something behind me there? Okay. Probably something I'm kicking down here, probably. Let me move this over a little bit because I might trip on it later on. But to be with Christ, for us, is the most precious relationship any person can have. Because you see, when we are having a relationship with our Lord, what it does is it affords us all the benefits and the blessings that God has promised to them who are his. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, and beginning at verse number 3, it says there that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, as we read that text, let us understand that God gives us everything that we need to have in order to build us up and to strengthen us so that we are able to do his will and remain faithful in this world. Therefore, all spiritual blessings are given to those who are in Christ Jesus. God blesses those who are his. And knowing this, that God blesses us, it should encourage us. It should help us to persevere through the trials and tribulations that we might go through. Because we know that if we are operating in faith, we know that we are able to make it through. That's why the Bible tells us that one day that we would be able to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2. So now, as we look at this crucial subject this morning, let us examine some scriptural facts that will help us in our walk with Christ. And hopefully, it will help those who aren't walking in Christ to see the benefits of being with Jesus. Let's go back to the text for one moment. And let's look at some key things that are going on here in the text. First, it says in verse number 8, now, if we die. I want you to pay attention to that word, if. Because that word, if, is what is known as a word of condition. What it does, it represents a conditional clause leading to receiving something. So, Paul here, as he talks about this, he is stressing the fact that there is a conditional nature to our redemption. So now, he says, if we die in Christ, if is an action that we must do in order to receive something. So if we died in Christ, we will live with him. Okay? So, I want you to notice this, that the word died is a past tense statement. It is something, according to what Paul is writing here, that has already been done. So he says, if we died with Christ. So then here's the question. A person might ask this. What does it mean that we died in Christ? And how do I die with Christ? Well, let's look over at Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse number 3. The Bible says here, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, because of this reason, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And in verse number 5 says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Well, there it is. How do I die through Christ? By obeying the command of being baptized into Christ, which baptizes me into his death. Now, what is the second question somebody might ask? The second question they might ask is, so then what do we die to? Well, the answer is that we die to sin. We begin a new life after we are baptized into Christ Jesus. And because of that act of obedience, we are able to do so. When we represent this in our death and our burial and our resurrection in Christ Jesus, we then begin this newness of life, that freshness of life that helps us to move forward in life doing the will of God. And then go back to the text in verse number 6 and looking at verse number 8 again. It says that now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now look at the word we believe, because see, that is a faith requirement. When we say we believe, it is incumbent on us who believe to believe in the promises of God. Because you know, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So then, we have the conditional if phrase. We have the faith requirement. But what does that lead us to? If we died with Christ, okay, we believe. But what is it that we are to believe? Look at the next verse. We believe that we shall also live with him. Now that is the factual statement of the promise. Based on us meeting the if condition, based on us having the faith requirement, we will benefit from the promise of the statement, which is we shall live with him. Now, why is this important? Why is it important for me to live with Christ? Well, I just told you, all spiritual blessings are where? In Christ Jesus. So if we want to benefit from the spiritual blessings, if we want to benefit from the promises of God, if we want to benefit from the blessings of God, we need to be in and with Christ. So now, what are some of these spiritual blessings? What are some of the things that God promises to those of us who have obeyed the gospel and are living faithfully? All right, let's take a look at some of these this morning, because we want to know what are the benefits of living with Christ. Turn your Bibles over, probably for some of you, one more page, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at verse number 16 as we turn there. And the Bible says there that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, because we died with Christ is the reason why we are the children of God. We talked about that earlier. And then in verse 17, it says, and if children, now look at this, if children, then heirs. We are heirs to God, or of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You see what that scripture is saying? It's saying that we have received something based on our being in Christ Jesus, or being with Christ. It says that we are heirs. We are joint heirs of God, or we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know what this does? It gives us the assurance that whatever inheritance that awaits the Son also awaits us as well as God's faithful children. So, when we call ourselves and we say that we are in Christ, and to be in Christ is knowing that we have a wonderful inheritance that is waiting for us one day. The Apostle Peter, he talked about this inheritance in 1 Peter chapter 1, when he begins to talk about how blessed, in verse number 3, he says, blessed to the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy have begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved for us in heaven. So we have an inheritance that we can look forward to. And why? Because when we are in Christ, when we are with Christ, we are heirs to that inheritance. So, based on our living with Christ, we are heirs. That means that we have right to inheritance. And it says we are joint heirs with Christ. But I want you to notice in the text again, there's a word there again that says what? If. That conditional phrase that seems to pop up a lot. And so the word if there leads us to what we must do in order to inherit this inheritance. He says, if so be, we do what? Suffer with him. And then it says that we may also be also glorified together. That's the statement, promise of God, if we suffer with him. You see, as heirs of the house, we are required to have some responsibilities of the house during the good times and also during the bad times. You know, when trouble starts in the house, you just don't go running every time it gets a little tough. In order for you to receive the blessing, you are going to have to stick it out to receive what God has for you. We need not be like Esau, who despised his birthright and sold it away for a morsel of food. Because sometimes people in the church, when things get tough, when things get rough, we want to run in the other direction. We want to leave the church. We want to leave the house of God where our inheritance lies. But if you want to be a joint heir and you want to enjoy the blessings of God, you're going to have to go through some tough times. That's why he says here, if we suffer with him. The body of Christ is the church, which is the house of God, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 3. And we just not to go running every time there's a sign of trouble. Where would we be if the early church had done that? Now, I know somebody probably saying, well, didn't they run from persecution? Yeah, and I don't blame them for that. But everywhere they went, they did not run from God. They took the word of God everywhere they went. They were suffering for God. And we might have to suffer for God too. But in the end, it says that we will be glorified with him. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So what he receives, we are going to receive it as well. But not only that, not only are we blessed to be heirs, we are also blessed to be able to reign with him. Turn your Bibles over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at right around verse number 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse number 10, it says here, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse number 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, and notice our key word there, with him, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. We talked about that. But verse 12 says, if we suffer, oh, look at this, we shall also reign with him. But it says that if we deny him, he will also deny us. So what is this idea here that we are going to reign with him? Well, the idea of reigning is to have dominion over something. So I want you to get this point very clearly. As Christ has all power and authority, as he says that he does, and all dominion over the world, we too, those who have died in Christ, those who are now living in Christ and living with Christ, we should have dominion in the same way he does. This world should not have any power over us. But we should have the power over the world. You know why? John tells us in 4, chapter 4, greater is he that is in us that is in the world. And if that's not good enough, look over at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And beginning at verse number 4. And while you're going there, I'll just read it. It says, beginning at verse number 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God," I'm going to hesitate to let you get there because you need to see this. You need to see this. Because it is really something that we need to place into our hearts and our mind. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God," we talked about how we are born of God, "overcometh the world." You see that? Don't tell me we don't have the ability to overcome the world if we have Christ in our lives. We can do it. We must do it in order for us to be able to live in this world and live a righteous life and a holy life in this world. He says we overcome the world. And look at this. "And this is the victory that overcometh the world." What is it? Even our faith. When we have that faith in Christ, when we trust in Him, when we trust in God that everything that He says He will do for us, He will do, and we have our eyes on the prize, which is heaven, nothing in this world should be able to stop us from getting there. We need to learn to overcome the world because the victory is ours by our faith. And in verse number 5, he says, "Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." You believe Jesus is the Son of God? When you were baptized into Christ, did you not confess him as the Son of God? So if you believe that, you trust it, you live it, you can have the victory over the world. So now, as we reign with Christ, we need to have that presence of mind that we can overcome. We too should do as the Lord would have us to do. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, the Apostle Paul gives us this word of encouragement when he says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Remember we talked about when you come up out of that water, you start walking the newness of life? We are to transform our thinking. The way we used to do things in the world, we have to do things for the Lord now. If we were a thief, a robber in the world, we need to stop doing that when we're in the Lord. We need to have a change of life. We need to have a renewing of our mind because we are not to conform ourselves to this world. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2, that's why Paul says, "Set your mind on things above and not things of this earth." Okay, so we are able to reign with Christ. That's a spiritual blessing. But not only are we able to reign with Christ, but we are to live with Him and can live with Him. Because that's another spiritual blessing that God gives to us, to live with Him. In Galatians chapter number 2, beginning at verse number 20, the Bible says there, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, when we are crucified with Christ, we die to a life that we once had, and we give ourselves in total submission over to whom died for us. And therefore, when we do so, we serve Him with dedication, and we serve Him for love. Why? Because of what He did for us in our lives. Now we know that when we talk about being crucified, we're talking about it's to die. And what Christ did for us, as the Bible so states, he died for our sins. But when we are crucified, the Bible says that we die to sin. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 11, the Bible says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. In who? In Christ Jesus our Lord. So it is that when we are crucified with Christ, we give up all the rights to ourselves, and we are to follow him because he is to live in us and with us. This is why we read in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 3. It says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now understand what this suggests to us. It suggests to us that we now are receiving the nurturing and the safety from being with Christ. Because, know this, that once you die to sin, Satan is going to come after you. He doesn't like it when somebody is plucked out of the world and have obeyed the gospel. He is going to come after you. And that's why we are going to need all the help that we can get in order for us to begin to continue to walk in this newness of life which we are expected to walk. So being hid in Christ is a good place to be. Because if we trust in God and do God's will, we will be able to walk with Jesus into eternity. That's why James chapter 4, the Bible tells us to draw near to God, and God will draw near to us. And then he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can't resist the devil unless you got God on your side. That's why he says you need to draw near to God first. Because he will come after you, and we need to be aware. And then, not only are we going to reign with Christ, not only is Christ going to live in us, and our life is about Christ, the Bible says that we will live with him eternally. Over in John chapter 3 and verse number 15, the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then, I think of the words of the Apostle Paul over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse number 12. The Apostle Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, this is an interesting statement coming from Paul, because no doubt Paul was one who fought that good fight. No doubt Paul was one that was walking with Christ. But he says to us that we need to also fight the good fight so that we may lay hold of eternal life. But then he says this, whereunto thou also art called. You know, it is not God's will that we should not inherit eternal life. God wants us to have eternal life. It is a promise that he gives to those who follow him. But look what he says here that we have to do. He not only says that we have to fight the good fight, but we have to profess a good profession before many witnesses. That is our faith in action. You see, we not only show our love for God by words, but we show it by our actions as well. If you say that you are in Christ, then act like it. If you say that you are living with Christ and Christ lives in you, then act like it. If you say that you have died to sins and the worldly things, then act like it. Too many times we have too many people who claim they love the Lord and I would give all and to him and he is my Savior and I thank him for everything, but then they don't act like it. They're still doing the same things that they used to do before they even came to the Lord. When people see us, they are supposed to see Christ in us because Christ lives in you. And if Christ lives in you, as the Bible says, you will be with him in eternity. Revelation chapter 14 and 13. I love this verse. The Bible says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, said the Spirit, that ye may rest from your labors, and their works do follow them." Understand this, that there is a day coming that we will cease to be on this earth. Our bodies will go back to the ground, and our soul will go to a place determined by God, but based on the decisions that we make right now, whether we want to be with Christ or be without him. And I'm telling you now, if you are wise, considering what the Bible tells us were the final destination of those who are not with Christ, I'd rather be with him than without him when the judgment day comes. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says this, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." You see, when that day comes, I want to be with Jesus. And I truly hope that's where you want to be. Because make no mistake, the day is coming. Jesus is coming back from heaven, where he sits now on the right hand of God, ruling over his kingdom, the church. And it will be that day that he's coming to judge you for what you have done on this earth. Choose him today before it's too late. I'm reminded of a story that I once heard about a young boy who had gone to town with his mother. And he was holding her hand and he got away from her and ran out into the street. But as he ran out to the street, there was a horse and buggy coming down the street. Now you know how old this story is. I'm talking about horse and buggies. So it was coming down the street, and it had gotten away, and it was barreling down and going right towards this young boy. But just before it got to him, there was a man who was standing on the side that saw all this, ran and scooped him up and got him to the side. Saved the day. Everybody was happy. Everybody was, "Oh, he saved this young boy. What a great thing." And everybody went about their way. Well, this young boy grew up to be a young man, and he was always in and out of trouble. In and out of trouble. And as you know, as trouble goes, it finally catches up with you. And it did for this young boy. So he got arrested, and he had to go before the judge. As he was being brought into the courtroom, he looked around, and he looked at the judge that was there sitting behind, you know, the podium there, and he recognized him. He was the same man that had saved him so many years back. And this boy got all happy.
He was like, oh my goodness, that's the man who saved me. And oh, he's not going to throw me in jail. He saved me then. He's certainly going to be leaning on me now. So he got up in front of the judge and he said, Judge, remember me? Remember me? I'm that young boy that you saved all those years ago. Remember me? Judge looked at him, very stern face. He said, son, I do remember you. But he said, that day I was your savior. Today, I'm your judge. Today, Jesus is your Savior. He came down. He died for your sins. He shed his blood for you. He left the Holy Spirit to come and to guide us into all truth. Gave us his word. Teaches us the way to come to him. Today, he's your Savior. But when he comes back, he's going to be your judge. You don't want to wait to that time to call yourself obeying him. This is the day that you need to make that decision to follow him. Okay, preacher, how do you do that? By obeying the gospel. By coming and obeying the words of God, to obey the gospel, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died and he was resurrected and he died for your sins. Because the Bible says that in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, that faith comes by what? By hearing. And by hearing the word of God. And then once you hear it, you have to believe it. Because the Hebrew writers write, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And then the Bible teaches us that you need to repent of your sin. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, it says, godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. You see, when we come to the understanding that we have wronged God and that our sins have separated us from him, and we realize that, it brings us to shame. It brings us to the fact that we say, we have wronged God and I want to change this. Now I'm coming to you in repentance and asking you to forgive me. And you know what God says? I will. But you have to confess my son as the Son of God. That's why Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 10, he said, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. And then the Bible says that we need to be baptized into Christ by his authority in order for us to receive the remission of sins. When we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his death, that we too should walk and be raised as he was raised, to walk in the newness of life. Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 16 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You are here today. You haven't obeyed the gospel. You have an opportunity to do so while Jesus is still your Savior. Do not wait until he becomes your judge. For those of us who have strayed away from the Lord, you need to come too. Asking God for forgiveness, rededicate your life to Christ. Because you want him to be with you when that day comes. We have a song of invitation, hymn number 303. Correct, Mike? 303. When we sing that song, this is what you need to do. You need to come on, step out on faith, and make your way down here to the front pews. Your brothers will be here ready to take your request, whether it's a prayer, whether you want to be baptized, and you can have this all done today. Don't let Satan stop you. I know he's probably whispering in your ear right now. You don't want to do that in front of all these people. You don't want to come. So what he's really saying, you don't want eternal life. You need to tell him, yes, I do. And you're not going to stop me. Brother Mike, come on and sing this song. And if you need to come, please come as we sing.